I'm Hillary Hendershot, your host, and this is Profit Boss Radio, episode 116. Profit Boss Radio is your weekly wealth mastermind. Profit Boss is also a community and a movement for women who are ready to take control of their money, break the glass ceiling, and give ourselves permission to finally have enough. Want the secrets of wealth to be yours? This is the place. I'm Hillary Hendershot. I'm a certified financial planner running a leading advisory firm for women, and I'm sharing with you real stories from real life and real women who are making it happen. Forget Wall Street. Let's do this, ladies. Hey, this is Hillary. I'm just popping in here with a few housekeeping items. I'm going to play this announcement on episodes 114 through 116. First, if you haven't seen my post in the private Facebook group, unfortunately, due to some changes that Facebook decided to make and those changes not jiving with the regulations that are put upon me as a financial advisor, I did have to what's called archive that group. So the you can still see it if you were in a part of the group. It was always a private group. So if you were a member, you can still see it, but you can't post anymore or make any changes. Okay, so I'm sorry about that. And but I'm excited for moving onward and upward. And I think that we have created some new ways to engage and interact. I would really like to play your voices on the show. So I would love for you to ask your Ask Hillary questions by using the recorder, the voice recorder on your phone, and sending those questions to media@hillaryhendershot.com and put the subject line in the subject line, use the hashtag Ask Hillary. So that's how you can ask your Ask Hillary questions. We're getting those answered on the show. I would love, love, love to hear from you that way. So don't be shy. If you don't want to include your name in the recording, that's cool. Just record it in your own voice, send it over, and we'll play it on the show, and then I'll answer it. And the other thing is that I want to let you know that season two of Profit Boss Radio is going to be wrapping up. Episode 116 is the last episode in season two, and then we'll take the summer off, and then I'll come back in September. So stay subscribed. Keep me right there on your podcast player. I won't take up any time or space while I'm out. If you are a newer listener, there's, you know, 116 other episodes for you to catch up on. So this is a chance for you to make up lost time. We've got some really exciting things planned for season three of Profit Boss Radio. So I'm excited to come back, improve some of the things that are working, add some new things that I think are going to increase engagement and the value of the show to you. And you should know that we're up leveling. That, you know, I think as a group, as a community, we are moving onward. We're getting better and better at managing our money. And so some of the topics in season three are going to be more sophisticated, more advanced, more of your traditional financial planning topics. Definitely learning about the things that impact you, your finances, your wealth, and your happiness. That's it for announcements, and on to the show. Right. Welcome to this final episode of Profit Boss Radio season two. I have a couple cool things for you today. First, a white paper or press release about women and the wage gap, and then an interview with an unlikely entrepreneur. So today's episode is about earning. It's about earning money, which is one of the key seven steps to wealth. Check out Profit Boss Radio episode 77. If you haven't heard the seven steps to wealth, those are our defining principles of the show and the movement and the community that is Profit Boss. First, let's talk about the wage gap. So according to this headline, psychologists say women are not to blame for the wage gap. This dated June 1st, 2018, women should not be blamed for the gender wage gap in the United States, according to psychologists at Rice University. The authors of the paper, which is called Victim Precipitation and the Wage Gap, draw upon existing psychological research to highlight myths regarding the gap between men and women and to offer possible explanations for why it exists. This story originally appeared in the Journal of Industrial and Organizational Psychology. Okay, so people often justify the gender wage gap by suggesting that women are not doing the same amount of work. They're opting out or they're working fewer hours, the author wrote. These justifications put the responsibility and blame on women themselves, preventing us from identifying and addressing the real root of the problem, not women's actions or inactions, but systemic inequality within organizations and society. The researchers outlined the following 5 myths regarding the wage gap and offered 6 suggestions for its elimination. Myth number 1, women are not doing equal work. Contrary to popular belief, women are the primary earners in 44% of families. I think we already knew this, right, Profit Boss? And more than 75% of single mothers are the primary earners. I'm not clear how you could be a single mother and not be the primary earner. I guess if you're getting a large amount of child support or alimony, huh? Okay, moving on from that one. Myth number 2, women leave the workplace to have and raise children. Well, it says women leave the workplace for reasons other than to have and raise children, the researchers wrote. Sometimes it's for a better job offer or lack of opportunity at a current employer, including training, advancement, and meaningful work. 66% of first-time pregnant mothers work during their pregnancy, with 88% of those who work doing so in the third trimester. Also, women are often mommy-tracked after returning to work. For example, they're deprioritized for promotions, opportunities, and projects. Myth number 3, women choose less lucrative professions. It says, while women do tend to enter lower earning occupations, the researchers said this does not explain the wage gap. Women earn less money than men within the same job, even within stereotypically feminine jobs such as nursing and social work. I don't know why we still refer to nursing as the quintessential feminine jobs. First of all, there's lots of men doing nursing, but second, nurses make a lot of money. I just find that funny. But anyway, in addition, research shows that female MBAs start out making less money than male MBAs, and that as women enter stereotypically masculine fields, the average salary for that field decreases. Some of this just makes me so irritated, dismayed, resigned. Anyway, there you go. That's the data. Okay, myth number 4 we're busting. Women don't ask for what they want. Well, it says women do ask for what they want, but still receive less than men. When women do negotiate, research showed women receive lower offers from both men and women. Myth number 5, women don't have as much education or experience as men. And it says this is not correct, as women hold the majority of undergraduate, master's, and doctoral degrees. I mean, I thought everybody knew this at this point. I feel like women have been trying to steel themselves for the workforce for so long that we've got a surplus of education, training, and degrees. Studies show that women earn less than men even after accounting for their prior work experience. In addition, the wage gap increases as women advance their careers, with the largest wage gaps at the executive level. It's simply time to stop blaming women for the wage gap, the author said. $1 for men must be $1 for women. Let's hear it for earning lots of money. I'm heartened to know that the wage gap is not our fault. However, your income is still your responsibility. And many of you who are listening to this show have been thinking about ways to make more money or ways to get out of a job you don't love, where they don't give you honor and respect for the talents and values that you contribute, or maybe you just want some time flexibility. So I know many of you are in the thought process, hey, what can I do as an entrepreneur? What kind of business could I start? And when I heard today's guest's story, I thought this is really perfect for the final episode of season 2. Her name is Mariko Briley, and I will introduce her fully when we get on the line together, but you got to listen to this story. This is not a woman you would expect to be running a business that's so successful. She gets to command her own schedule, and you'll hear her talk about how they're building a conference center on their property. They've got their dream home. Like she and her husband have built this business that they're able to take a lot of cash out of. So kudos to her. Some other things that she and I talk about today, how she started out in life as a pilot of a small plane in Alaska, and how that transitioned into now running a business that teaches entrepreneurs how to get leads on Facebook. Two totally unrelated things. How when she started or bought that business, she had no idea what she was doing. She literally didn't know how to produce the product that the business promised to produce, and how she's doing it with wild success now. She talks about some of the really expensive mistakes that she made in the beginning of the business, and how she really doesn't feel that she would give those lessons up, even though she could maybe still have a little bit of more money in the bank. She feels like she's really been edified by these lessons and that they help guide her entrepreneurial decisions now, and how now that her business is at 30,000 foot cruising altitude, that's a small pun intended on the whole pilot small plane thing. Now that her business is at 30,000 foot cruising altitude, how she's making different decisions, choosing quality of life and spending time with her kids. Please enjoy this interview with Marika O'Briley. Hey, Profit Boss. I'm excited to welcome to the show Marika O'Briley. Marika grew up surrounded by the great outdoors of Alaska. She went from flying tourists around Mount McKinley to now running a multi-million dollar online business. She absolutely loves being an entrepreneur. She loves the freedom that comes with working online. Mariko's focus is helping business owners obtain success, and she is passionate about inspiring emerging entrepreneurs to achieve their goals. She's currently working on a new book with her husband about how to attract the right clients. Welcome to the show, Mariko.
Hey, Hillary. Thank you so much for having me on the show. I'm super excited.
Yes, you came highly recommended. So let's talk about this. First of all, you were a pilot, so you're flying Cessnas or private jets. What kind of planes are you flying?
I flew small aircraft. So yes, I am from Alaska, and I feel like everyone has a small plane there. So it was not uncommon to be a pilot. And it was a lot of fun. It was a lifetime ago, but I wouldn't trade it for the world.
I don't know how you have the courage to fly a plane. So you took private lessons when you were growing up, or how did you start flying planes?
My grandfather had a plane, and my best friend's dad and whole family, they had a business around aircraft. So it was very much so a part of my life. It was something that I wanted to do, and I actually ended up going to a private aeronautical university out in Arizona to do all my training because I knew I wanted to do it professionally.
Wow. Okay. Well, if we had longer, I would ask you about near misses and planes falling out of the sky.
I bet.
Okay. So here you are. You're a pilot. Take us through the major twists and turns that led you to where you are now, running as a co-founder of a company called Yubly, which we'll talk about more later.
Yeah, it all started off when, I'd always wanted to be a pilot, trained for it. And then I happened to meet a man and have a baby and was like, you know, it's probably really important that I see my 40th birthday. I'm around for my kids to grow up. I should find something else to do. The man I ended up marrying, he was an entrepreneur already. So definitely, he had run businesses before, and we kind of sat down and discussed, all right, what's the next move here? Mm-hmm. What can we do to keep life interesting and adventuresome and not be tied down with the traditional brick and mortar job or, you know, businesses?
Well, that's cool. So you kind of designed your life.
Oh, yeah. Very much so.
That's great. I love to hear that. I think so many people just get into business and sort of this desperation, like just throwing stuff at the wall to see what sticks, and then they find a revenue stream and it owns them. And it's great to hear that you took the time to think about what's important to us, quality of life, and like that. So tell us a little bit about what your company does and how you run it remotely and how you integrate your quality of life interests into mm-hmm. your calendar.
So what our business is we teach online marketing pretty much solely with Facebook. It's in high demand. Pretty much anybody, when I bring up and tell people we do social media marketing, I get a slew of questions. Everyone wants to know how to do it. But, you know, it really enables us to be able to still not feel strapped to one location. Like, we have to show up every day to a business at, you know, down the street or wherever, if it had a permanent location. Last year, for example, we decided we wanted to travel and go somewhere cool once a month. Now, being a business owner, it's really hard to just pick up and leave for a couple weeks mm-hmm. every month. But when you're online, you can always work wherever, right, remotely.
Does being able to work remotely translate into working less than the traditional you know, for most business owners, 60 to 90 hour work week?
I would like to say yes, but man, when you're a business owner and an entrepreneur, you're working a lot. It just allows you to form your life around your work, and where you can say, like, for instance, my work day is I work from about 6 till 3 o'clock. After that, I take care of my kids and I get to make dinner for them and pick them up from school. And then when they're off busy playing and doing whatever, watching TV or homework, I get to pop into work for another couple hours. I wouldn't say I work too much less, but I get to break it up and choose when I work.
Talk a little bit about how you started the business. It was just the two of you. I think you bootstrapped it. You mentioned you had some debt. Talk about the evolution of that and how you got things going.
Sure. So when we got started, I knew absolutely nothing about online marketing, lead generation. We were definitely a rookie. We saw a business and did some research that was in online lead gen, and it seemed like a solid business. We flew out, met the owners a couple times, and we bought the business. And it was kind of like one of those like, oh, bleep moments where you're like, okay, we really have to get into this and understand it. So my husband and I jumped just right in and figured out how to operate it, the whole system, the whole shebang, how to generate leads. It was a crash course like crazy, but we did it and we survived and we made a great living off of it, but it wasn't fulfilling, if that makes sense.
Yeah. Yeah.
It wasn't something that I was like, can I see myself doing this in 5 years? It wasn't filling my cup. So it was, and my husband's either. So we went back to the drawing board and said, well, with the skills that we have acquired, what should we do? What should we make our lives more meaningful? And sometimes I feel like the universe just opens up and it's like, hey, over here, here's this great opportunity or this idea that pops in your head. And at that time, some of my husband's best friends, they were in network marketing and they had been very successful, but were reaching out to us continually for social media marketing and how to generate leads online. My mom as well, she is a Mary Kay lady, always had problems, or not problems, but just always trying to grow the business and running out of friends and family. And we were like, oh my gosh, we should merge the two together because we would have an endless supply of need of people out there who needed to know everything that we know. Why don't we teach them? And that ended up being so much more fulfilling, being able to empower people to teach them how to grow and how to see that success than any job that I've ever had or any business or anything. Being a part of almost like a movement where you can inspire, and just the fact of helping other people is so much more meaningful.
That's great. I love hearing about how the light bulb went on, because ultimately all a business is a systematic way to solve big problems for other people, right?
For sure.
So it's like here you had sort of accidentally built up this skill set, and then you just let your ears hear what the people around you were asking for.
Definitely. Yeah, it's a partial, you know, the right things being put in front of you, you also being receptive to receiving them.
Yes. Okay, perfect. Most financial advisors think that unless you have $500,000 or maybe even $1 million or more to invest, you're actually more trouble than the time it takes to help you. I have a huge problem with that notion. You aren't a number, you're a person who has real financial goals, questions, and dreams. For those of you out there with less than $500,000 to invest, have you found yourself stuck with a financial advisor who only tries selling you insurance or annuities, where it's obvious that you're nothing more than a commission to them? Or how about a robo-advisor that offers no personalized attention? Wouldn't you love to find someone who actually cares about your financial success? Someone who wants to know why you're investing in the first place? Well, I have good news. Ignite Investing now offers you personalized financial planning and advice, a professionally constructed portfolio, financial accountability, and a custom wealth plan so that you can make the most of your money, as well as connect you inside a community of investors who are goal-oriented like you and who are committed to achieving financial freedom. If that sounds like what you've been looking for, then we'd love for you to apply by visiting igniteinvesting.com and clicking on Get Started today. So in the beginning, it was just the two of you. And now, I mean, we didn't specifically talk about this, but on the homepage of your website is like, there's like 18 people here. So you have, I think you have a pretty big team at this point.
That is actually one of our, we have live workshops where people come out.
Oh, okay. So these are your customers.
Those, some of them, there's a mix. So we actually did start off with about 20 employees.
Yeah.
When we first started and we like hit it big, we were like, oh, we're going to have a bigger company than just a husband and wife team. And, it was really hard.
So you went to 20?
No, we were like, we're going big, go big or go home. So we started off with, 20 employees. We had a sales floor. We had fulfillment center. I mean, it was, we were not doing any of the day-to-day grind. It was more, you know, upper level management, the making of the big decisions. And at first it seemed like a dream come true. We were generating a lot of money and we were getting in clients and it was super exciting. We're like, you know, I remember our first six figure week. We were like, oh my gosh, this is amazing. Why aren't we making any money?
Because you had seven figures in payroll.
And then that reality stepped in and we're like, oh, I think we need to go and take a look at, you know, we set up a really in-depth P&L. We're like, all right, where's the red? Where's the green? We got to figure this out. Yeah. And 20 was like way, there was, we were paying people to do too little of work and it was just kind of a mess. So we went back to the drawing board and we were like, what do we need? How many people do we need to do what we want to do? We ended up keeping the superstars. There's about six of us right now. Mm-hmm. And really learned how to make it a highly efficient, very profitable business between us six. And we use a lot of automation, a lot of software to do some of the heavy lifting, mm-hmm. and instead of having an actual person do it. So that helped us big time.
Prof, you got to love the P word. I'm glad you were able to find yours. So in retrospect, do you wish that you had grown organically or did you need a big team to start out?
It's one of those things that, for my sanity, I have to think we had to go through that to get to where we are today. And, you know, I never want to go down that road again of where I feel like we have to be like huge and have all these employees to be successful instead of really just focusing on, you know, more of the profitable side instead of just generating a lot of money.
Yeah. Yeah. And now you, when you started the business, you had some debt. Was that your debt or your husband's or joint generated?
Business. It was business debt. So,
oh, you have business debt.
It was. It definitely took a lot more money than we were planning to launch a business.
Yeah.
That's expensive, especially from groundbreaking where, I mean, if you purchase a business, whatever. It was expensive getting in it and we did not project. It took us about a year and a half, 2 years to really put everything together and to get things where we were actually bringing in money within that year and a half. So pretty easy to rack up $200,000 in debt when it comes to a business, especially when you justify it and you're like, oh, it's for the business. It's not like I just went out and bought a Ferrari. But at the end of the day, debt is debt.
Right. Well,
Correct.
Starting a business takes capital, right? You need you need gasoline for the flames.
You do.
Okay. And so how do you think about the debt now? Is the amount of the debt still going up, or is it plateaued, or is it going down?
Oh, no. No, once we definitely got the ship moving in the right direction, we trimmed down the employees. We were more focusing then on efficiency and results and just, I call it lean and mean, right?
Yeah.
We saw profit within the first.
I have a feeling that's been your motto for a while now. Lean and mean.
Lean and mean. Oh yeah. It was an immediate turnaround, thankfully. Oh my gosh. And it was really nice to see making big changes and actually seeing them being fulfilled in profit. So that part, it was nice. And then you just kind of get better at what you're doing and better and better and better. And you're able then to not only live a great lifestyle, but then pay back that debt. So last year we had a choice. We're like, well, do we pay off all the debt or do we have some fun? I think we chose the fun route.
It's so funny how you're like ashamed.
I know. Looking back, I'm like, oh, we probably should have been a little bit more serious about the debt side. But we had a lot of fun. And, being comfortable and knowing, okay, well, where we're at right now, if we extended it 6 months or a year, that's fine. But knowing that you have the resources to get to where you want to be, that's the comforting part.
Yeah. Yeah. And so at this point, you're both paying yourselves, you're able to pay your personal bills, you're able to take care of things for the kids and things like that.
Oh yeah. No, we were able to, at the beginning of this year, we bought our dream house and we merged the business and our home together, which is something that we've always been wanting to do. So we have a separate building for our business, and then we have our house on the same property.
Oh, wow.
We call it the compound.
Yes.
And then we built out a place to have events on our property. So it's been pretty cool to see the evolution of how everything is coming around.
How cool is that? Do you have pictures of that online?
I think so.
Oh my gosh, that's so cool. I kind of want to see it. Okay. I know you've been a listener of Profit Boss Radio, and I talk about money operating systems on the show. And so I'm really curious, because your employment history is so unique, and you've really been able to do a lot from seemingly ordinary beginnings. Talk to me a little bit about, what was money like in your household growing up? What did you believe to be true about money? Where have you struggled, if you have? Talk to me about that.
Sure. So I grew up in a very, I would say, frugal, where both my parents were teachers. They had a set income, and they were big savers. So you did not spend money that you did not have. Mm-hmm. And if you didn't have it, then you just that was it. I still had an amazing childhood and had everything I wanted, but I don't even think my parents had credit cards growing up. I mean, they are a true testament to, if you have a 9-to-5 and you get a steady paycheck on how to save your money for a great retirement. Somehow I always knew that would never be my destiny. I don't know why, but I was like, no, I'm a risk taker. And then I met my husband, who grew up in an entrepreneurial family where it was feast or famine. So they had huge, they were all over the board financially and understood that in order to make money, you have to spend money, and sometimes you have to take out loans and incur debt because the payout is so high, especially if you know what you're doing in business. And I feel like combining those two worlds has been a struggle, but at the same time has been beneficial for both my husband and I, who are in business together. Mm-hmm. So I'm the one that's putting a lot of brakes on, saying no, no. And my husband's the one that's, always jumping into the deep end, saying, let's do this big thing. So somehow it works with us meeting in the middle to make very financially responsible decisions, but at the same time, still understanding that you do have to take risks.
Your mindsets about money and spending have to evolve with your business. So, you know, just as an example, you know, I've been pedaled to the metal building the business. I mean, giving up nights, weekends. And now all of a sudden I have a baby and I have a profitable business and I have a team who needs my attention and training if I ever want to replicate myself. And so me foregoing all kinds of other activities to meet with prospective clients and move appointments around and sometimes double book myself and make messes, it's not appropriate in this phase of business. And I realized I was talking about money decisions, and what I just talked to you about was a time decision, but I think that's applicable. And I heard you saying about your husband that he always wants to go for it. And I don't know what phase your business is in, but maybe your resistance is a little bit about maybe it's not the right time in our business to always go for it.
Oh,
right?
Yeah. Yep. That's me. I'm always like, well, let's think about this for a second.
You're like, I like the money in the bank.
Yes. No, I'm definitely comforted by, you know, having a cushion for sure. And he could care less because he's always like, we're always going to make it back. So, I'm like, well, at least leave a little bit of cushion in there for me to relax on. And the time issue, like you brought up before, is, you know, that is super important with the different phases that you are in your life. I have two younger daughters, so I can't be having my foot on the gas all the time.
Exactly. And it sounds like you're really responding to that transition or new phase in your business. Well, thank you so much for being here, Mariko, and sharing your lessons learned on Profit Boss Radio. Why don't you tell people where they can find you online?
Our website is youbly.com. Mm-hmm. It's kind of a weird word there, but it's spelled youobly.com. Mm-hmm. And you can find more about our company, what we do, a plethora of resources to help you if you're thinking about diving into social media marketing or launching your business online.
Awesome. Mariko, thank you so much for joining us, and thanks for being a Profit Boss.
Yes, of course. Thanks for having me.
Today's episode of Profit Boss Radio was brought to you by Ignite Investing. If it's time to release all that financial anxiety and make sure you're on the right path to financial success by hiring a comprehensive wealth management team, and you have between $25,000 and $499,000 to invest, go to igniteinvesting.com now and click Get Started today. For today's show notes, visit HillaryHendershot.com. And if you love Profit Boss Radio, please share the show with your friends. And of course, leave us a 5-star review on iTunes. Until next time, I wish you much prosperity.